And welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Still to come on the program, State Senator Chris Elliott will be with us. Please stick around for that. Joining us on the line now is my pleasure to introduce our next guest. He represents the folks in the 3rd Congressional District here in Alabama. Also now the ranking Republican on the House Armed Services Committee, Congressman Michael Rogers joined us. Congressman, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you.
Thank you for making time for us. We do really do appreciate it. A lot to get into right now. Well, first, congratulations on the new post. We haven't talked since your colleagues voted you to represent the as a ranking member on the Armed Services Committee. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, I'm really honored. You know, for people who don't know what ranking member means, that just means you're the top Republican. Whichever party is in the minority, the top Democrat, if the Democrats are in the majority, is called the chairman. The top Republican is called the ranking member. And if, you know, assuming we get the majority back in 2022, I'll become chairman and the current chairman will become ranking member. It just means you're the top member of your party on the committee. And, you know, I've been on this committee. This is now my 19th year. And it's, as you know, the military has a huge presence in the state of Alabama. We have installations all over the state, and we have a lot of people that are involved in supporting the military, either in active duty, guard, or reserve, or a civilian employee. So it's a big deal for that reason, but also it's just a big deal for our nation. We've been at war the entire 19 years that I've been in Congress in two theaters, and we deal with some really important life and death decisions, and it's just a really rewarding committee to serve on, and I'm honored my conference gave me the confidence to lead Republicans on it.
Well, it's certainly a big deal, and like I say, congratulations on that. I'm sure you're going to do really excel in that new post. But let's talk about what it looks like up there. Certainly some strange circumstances since we last talked. The Georgia Senate seats went Democrat. Now Republicans find themselves in a minority in both chambers. But as hope springs eternal, things still look up electorally. But what's it going to be like the next couple of years here now that you guys face a Democrat or White House in Congress from top to bottom?
It's kind of like living in Venezuela. You know, these Democrats are just, they're not liberal, they're socialist in their agenda. And they really have just been talking crazy stuff about what they want to do over this 2 years. The good news for us is the margins are very narrow for them in the House and Senate, and it's going to be hard for them to pass meaningful legislation with those margins. Because even though, you know, they've got a 4-vote margin in the House, and then, of course, it's 50-50 in the Senate. They're a very diverse conference. Just like we're a very diverse Republican conference. We have moderates and we have conservatives, and then we got some ultra-conservatives. They have the same problem. They've got some moderates, they've got some liberals, and they've got some downright socialists. So trying to get all the cats herded together and vote on this piece of legislation to get 218 votes is a really, really, really hard thing to do. So while they're talking about a lot of what I view as socialist legislation, their ability to get most of it enacted into law is going to be unlikely. But in the meantime, they're going to scare the bejesus out of this country. And I think our standing in the world is going to really diminish. And that's unfortunate. You know, President Trump had gone a long way in improving our standing around the world, particularly with our enemies having more respect for us. He did wonders with our economy. And I think that you're going to see the economy just continue to tank over the next 2 years because of the Biden agenda, the things they're doing with regulations as well as proposed tax increases. So, you know, it's just going to be tough over the next 2 years, but I am optimistic. You know, you made the point of hope springs eternal. Well, it's not just hope. I mean, just history is on our side. When you look at the history of this nation, there's only been two occasions where a new president was elected and didn't lose over 25 or more seats in the House of Representatives in their first midterm election. And we're only, you know, 4 seats away from being in the majority. And but just because of history of what they're doing legislatively, it's going to drive a lot of independents to vote for us in the midterms, and it's going to really energize our base to turn out. So I feel very good about getting the House back. I had paid enough attention to the Senate landscape to know what that looks like, but I feel very good about getting the House back in 2 years. But in the meantime, we're going to have to put up with a lot of craziness.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the craziness, and I won't ask you to spend too much time on Marjorie Taylor Greene or any of that stuff, but if the Democrats were really pushing forward in these first 100 days of a presidential administration and getting things accomplished, spending time on a freshman member of the House and spending time on impeachment, all of these things, to me, at face value, it seems like that would be distractions from trying to get the Biden agenda done. What do you think the end game is ultimately there?
Well, you just described why I'm not that unhappy about what they're doing. I hope this impeachment trial in the Senate lasts 3 months, because if they're spending 2 or 3 months on an impeachment trial, they're not passing bills in the law. And as I've learned, I've been doing this a long time, the further you go into an election cycle, the dimmer your chances of passing meaningful legislation happen. If you want to get big things done, you better do it in the first 3 or 4 months of a 2-year cycle, because big things don't happen the closer that election gets to you. So I want them to spend a lot of time on silly stuff, because that means they're not passing bills. I hate what they're doing with what we call MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, because, it's just a terrible precedent. Trying to hold something somebody said before they were in Congress against them to take their seats away. And plus, we have never in the history of the Congress allowed the majority party to decide what committees the minority party members were in. It's always been that each party decided that for themselves. So this is a terrible precedent, but I can just tell you, if they go ahead and do this, we've made it clear to them in 22 months when we're in the majority, we're going to do the exact same thing to them. They got more nuts than we got, and we're going to take them off their committees for the crazy stuff they've said as well.
Yeah, that was my next question. It does seem to be there will be new rules coming out of this that if you guys win in 22, and it looks like you ought to win in 2022, that this will be the new normal. I don't know. You feel like that would be, if they do this, then Republicans ought to reciprocate?
Oh, absolutely. We've made it clear we're going to, at a minimum, reciprocate with several of their members. There's an old saying, be careful what you wish for. You might actually get it. So that's what's going to happen with this. And the truth is that Hoyer and Pelosi, I am confident, in private, don't want to do this. They've been here long enough to know this is going to come back to bite them. But their left wing, these new freshman members and sophomore members who are all socialists, you can't talk to them. They don't care. They haven't been here. They don't understand. It's just like we had with the Freedom Caucus when we were in the majority. They wouldn't listen either. So they're the ones who are driving the train. Because the margins are so narrow on the Democrat side, the leadership is being held hostage by the left, just like President Biden's being held hostage by the left. This stuff that's coming out of him, all these executive orders and this crazy policy he's advocating, all that's being driven by the far left. They've got a gun to his head, politically, not figuratively.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think most of us understood what you meant by that. But all of that does seem to kind of take away from the ultimate objective. If you really are trying to create this socialist utopia in America, all of this just seems to just put it on the back burner while you deal with this. And Pelosi, maybe this is her way of keeping control of power, but she's not. There's not a whole lot being accomplished here, it seems.
Yeah, but I've worked up here long enough to know Pelosi and the way she thinks. I guarantee you, she does not want to be doing this. She does not want to be spending time on this kind of stuff, because she knows while she's doing this, she can't be advocating legislation. What she really cares about is changing the law to make this country much more liberal. But she's having to do this to appease the wolves in her conference that are coming after her. Same thing. Steny Hoyer is a much more reasonable legislator than Pelosi, and he cares about this institution's long history and its future. I guarantee you he doesn't want to do this. But again, they're elected leadership by their conference, and their conference is demanding this blood. They want to see this blood spilled on the political floor, and they're the ones demanding this vote. But again, that's the only good thing about us going through this, is as long as they're doing this, they're not passing laws that are going to ruin this country.
Joined by Congressman Mike Rogers of the 3rd Congressional District. Congressman, as I saw a headline the other day, Jen Psaki has said some interesting things about Space Force. I know Space Force has been something you have cared deeply about, have spoken about in the past before it became a reality under the president, under Trump's administration. Talk about that. What you would like to see out of the press secretary, spokeswoman for the Biden White House?
Well, obviously, I care a lot about it. It was my proposal, and a long time before President Trump was even president, we were advocating for this, and we had already passed it out of the House before the president was even aware of it. Now, in the end, President Trump was very supportive in helping us make this a reality. But the Democrats, just because he was for it, they're against it. And Jen Psaki, all she did was demonstrate her ignorance when she disparaged or made a terrible joke out of the Space Force. It is now, has been for the last 2 years, another branch of the military with thousands and thousands of service members who came from the Air Force and the Army and now the Navy. Into that, they're transferring into this new service, and plus new recruits coming on. But they are military people who are serving our country to protect us against a very real threat from China and Russia in space. You know, most of your listeners may not know this, or those who have heard you talk, interview me before know that, you know, we depend on satellites for almost every part of our daily lives, and just as civilians. But the military depends heavily on satellites too, to guide its missiles, to position troops. The GPS system, that's a national security satellite system. It's not there to help you find a restaurant. And we monitor nuclear launches. I mean, all sorts of things with satellites. Your traffic signals are controlled by satellites, your banking transactions, your gas pumps, I mean, all kind of things. And we cannot let China and Russia be able to take out our satellites and take down our communications capabilities, much less our military capabilities. And that's why the Space Force was created. It was clear that the press secretary didn't have a clue what the Space Force was. All she knew that Trump supported it, so she made a stupid joke. And it just incensed me, not just as the person who initially proposed it, been advocating for it, but as a senior member of the Armed Services Committee, I know how much our military depends on that capability to stay alive and to win wars and keep us safe. And I think she should apologize, and we still hadn't gotten that. She had to come back the next day and say that the Biden administration was fully for it. I already knew that. The Biden administration already sent that through military circles. But she owes those service members who are devoting their life to protect us an apology for being such a smart aleck.
Congressman, real quick before we run out of time here, COVID-19, the pandemic, still on a lot of folks' mind. It seems to be really dictating kind of the way we live life in America right now. Capitol Hill, that seems to be the big political fight, aside from all the crazy stuff that the Biden agenda might include. This seems to be the front one. I know the House, from your standpoint, being in the minority, it's really hard to have a say in what you think is going to happen because Pelosi and the Democrats get whatever they want. But from what you understand, well, what do you think it's going to be? Do you think that they'll get something that will pass through the Senate, or is the House so far gone that that's just going to be the controversy we're going to have to deal with?
Yeah, well, whatever they can get through the Senate is going to actually be what has to come back to the House and gets to the president's desk, because they obviously have even a narrower margin in the Senate because of the 50-50 split. And their members are more, I would say, sensitive to the parliamentarians' expectations on the political maneuver. They're using a maneuver called reconciliation, which is a budget maneuver, to pass this legislation without having the 60 vote rule kick in. And I'm not going to get arcane about it, but basically they got a technical way to try to get it passed with 50 votes plus the vice president breaking a tie. But that narrow passage is very narrow, and they can't be abusive with it and make a whole lot of different laws that don't have to do with spending money, budget issues. So while the House can pretty much ram anything through the Senate, it's a little bit more difficult. So I don't think this whole wish list is going to get through, like the $15 hour minimum wage increase is going to be able to be included in there. But from everything I'm hearing, they intend to pass this with no Republican votes in the House or Senate.
Well, that seems to be standard operating procedure these days, and we'll see how long it lasts. Hey, Congressman, we got to get out of here and get to break, but I want to thank you for making time for us, and let's do it again real soon.
Yeah, and congratulations on a new baby. That's awesome.
Yeah, fatherhood. It comes with challenges, though, but I do appreciate it.
Yeah, but it's worth every minute of it, buddy. You'll enjoy it.
Well, I thank you very much, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, bye.
Congressman Mike Rogers, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porsche Show on FM Talk 106.5.
From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains.